Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 7th, 2017. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Celebration Star Power Overcomes Fence Worries. This is an article from Decatur, written by Tony Reed of the Herald and Review. The pulling power of stars like platinum-selling hip-hop and rap singer Nelly, along with favorable weather and lots of fun entertainment and attractions, blew away any fears that a fenced Decatur celebration would be a lesser event. Crowd numbers for the full 3-day festival won't be available for some time, but the streets of downtown Decatur looked jammed. Fans turned out in droves on Friday for country star Travis Tritt, on Saturday for rocker Bret Michaels, and they did it again Sunday for Nelly and a perennial Decatur favorite, Here Come the Mummies. The bandaged funk and R&B mummies at one point even used power tools on stage in a shower of sparks, packed in spectators many layers deep. In fact, the Mummies' 6:30 p.m. audience at the FunFest stage swelled out and up Franklin Street and merged with the edges of people crowding in hours in advance for Nelly's 8:15 p.m. show on the show stage. Die-hard Nelly fans Denise Jones and Star Copeland, both of Decatur, said the joy of celebration is getting to see acts like Nelly for the mere cost of a wristband, $5 in advance or $8 at the gate for the whole weekend. You could pay anything up to $70 on up to see Nelly somewhere else, said Jones, 45. This is really cheap. As for the fence, both women said it created some inconvenience, but there were a lot of pluses too in controlling the movement of people. It stops the chaos, and that's good, said Copeland. Others weren't so sure, however. Beverly Bramlett, who lives in Decatur, said the effect was a little maze-like until she got used to it, and even then, she didn't feel there were enough entry and exit points. Nobody likes to walk more, and with the parking, you are walking 3 or 4 blocks to begin with, she said, and so you don't need to be walking another 2 or 3 trying to find out how to get in. She was also worried about what might happen if there was some kind of major incident and a panicked rush for the exits. People are going to start running and they're going to run over you, she added. But others liked the sense of security that came with the 6-foot-high chain-link fencing. There were some reported instances of fence climbing. Teenagers could be seen clambering on cars to get over the fence during the Nelly concert. But otherwise, the barriers held up well. Yeah, I really like the fence, said Teresa Knowles, who was patiently waiting for the Mummies' crazy show to start. I think the fence weeds out trouble. She also liked the heavy Decatur Police and Macon County Sheriff's Office presence throughout the celebration, with officers wanding and searching people on their way into the fair rides. Security is good, said Knowles. I'm all for it. She's also all for celebration and its eclectic mix of fun, food, music, and entertainment. $8 for live music for 3 days and a kid area where they play for free and get prizes. Good food, good friends, and people helping each other. Celebration is wonderful, she said. Celebration producer Lori Sturgill was looking pleased and relieved at her Decatur Civic Center command post Sunday evening. She said she had worried about the effects of introducing the fence and hoped the star power of the headliner acts would overcome any negatives. Introducing the fence was a big decision to make, but that decision has proven to be a good decision, she said. Sturgill said she would be reviewing the placement of entrance points around the fence and tweaking future plans to avoid trouble spots. She said the area around Merchant and Prairie Streets could have used an admission gate, for example, but she said she was also pleasantly surprised by how many favorable comments she'd been hearing. I've heard a lot of comments about the sense of security with the fence, she said, and I've been hearing them from people I never thought I would have heard something like that from. The one thing even the fence couldn't control was the weather, however. But threatened storms didn't show up, and Sunday evening was marked with a pleasant, cooling breeze. We had a lot of prayer chains going to make that happen for us, Sturgill said with a laugh. And a number of photos accompany the article. One shows a sweet little girl, Amelia Bundy, giving a lemur named Julian a hug on Sunday in the kids' block during the 2017 Decatur celebration. And Julian is part of Wild Times Exotics. And here come the Mummies performing Sunday at the Funfest stage. Mummy-wrapped musicians. There's a little girl, Kiera Rydell, 10, who won the limbo contest on Sunday in the kids' block. And a photograph of Nelly with members of the crowd reaching out to touch him on the show stage. And another article from the front page. Historic House, Historic Union. Wedding bells, a reminder of two Decatur families. This is an article written by Donette Beckett from Decatur. The Mueller and Staley names are forever linked with Decatur's past. Both businesses were founded by family patriarchs with their offspring often mingling together in Decatur's social circles. Their lineage would overlap with marriages between the two families. More than 90 years later, the connection continues. The histories of both industries are accessible in museums devoted to the businesses and families. Laura Jarr is director of the Staley Museum, located in the family mansion on North College Street, and assistant director of the Hieronymus Mueller Museum on El Dorado Street. "I have a really cool job," she said. When David Lee Allen proposed marriage to Jarr in September 2016, the couple didn't have to look far for the ideal wedding location. The Staley Mansion had been the backdrop for three of the family's daughters, and the house has a beautiful staircase and fireplace, Jarr said. "When I started thinking about all the Staley girls that got married here, I thought, this is where we should do it." Not only were her mind on the house, her heart was in it, too. Jarr lived in the third floor of the home while it was being remodeled for the museum, which opened in 2016. "This is like home to me because I lived here for 3 years," she said. "This is a project I worked really hard on, and Dave was right there with me." The couple was married on Saturday, July 29th, in the Staley Mansion, surrounded by close friends and family. Jarr has a passion for history and vintage items, so she asked her guests to dress in vintage clothing, appropriate to the style of the house. The couple was driven to their beach house reception in a 1930 Model A Ford. They admit their two personalities are different, but complementary. "I'm vintage and history. He's pop culture, modern, and high tech," Jarr said. "But when it comes to having fun, we do that really well together." Allen is known throughout the area as the owner of the local Coca-Cola Museum and David Lee's Party Time DJ service. "But she is the voice for Decatur history," Allen said about his new wife. "In just 7 years, she has made a name for herself." "I wouldn't say that about myself," Jarr said. "I'm just really happy to be a part of it." Allen and Jarr have a history and a story of their own. The two were a couple while in junior high school. "He was my first real boyfriend and first real kiss," she said. During their freshman year in 1978, Allen's mother sent him to school in Maine. He called Jarr often, wanting to come home. After a year, Allen returned to Decatur, attending Eisenhower High School with Jarr. She introduced him to some new and old friends. Jarr was always fond of the young man, but had her own plans for the future. "I was on the fast track to getting out of Decatur and traveling the world," she said. "I love Decatur. I just wanted to see the world." They went their separate ways, but always had a friendship. They even danced together at the 10-year reunion, although they had each married other people. "So it was nothing romantic," Allen said. "Our friendship was just always there," Jarr said. Jarr had lived in Madrid, Spain for nearly 30 years, raising her three children. Each year, she made summer trips home to visit family. In 2010, Jahr moved back to Decatur while planning a divorce. Her elderly parents were still living in Decatur, which drew her back to town. Alan had been single for nearly 20 years, but hadn't found anyone to match the connection he later found with Jahr. "I had girlfriends, but nothing was ever right," he said. As she slowly created her life in Decatur, Jahr realized she felt a similar connection. "There were things for me to do on my own. He waited and was supportive," she said. "Dave was an answer to my prayers." The couple honeymooned in Orlando, Florida, with three of their four children, ages 20 through 28, visiting Universal Studios and a Coca-Cola National Convention. 800 people just like me," Alan said about the convention. The couple used the convention to get better room rates, as well as celebrate Jahr's son's graduation from Bradley University. "The wedding is an excuse to put it all together," Alan said. The couple will continue their careers working in museums, her Staley and Mueller Museums, and his Coca-Cola Museum. "Now they can add their own history." "We like telling a story," Jahr said, "and that's what museums do. They tell a story." And more news about the Decatur celebration. First, Morgan Miller crowned Illinois Festival Queen. The Illinois Festival Queen, Junior Miss, Preteen, and Princess Pageant was hosted at the Civic Center during Decatur Celebration on Sunday. Morgan Miller was crowned as the 2017 Illinois Festival Queen. First runner-up was Brittany Rader, and second runner-up was Cassidy Tucker. Sarah Buckner was crowned the 2017 Illinois Festival Junior Miss, with Mia Brandenburg first runner-up. Grace Muller was crowned as the 2017 Illinois Festival Preteen, and Brooklyn Circle was the first runner-up, and second runner-up was Andrea DeHart. All girls in the 2017 Illinois Festival Parade of Princesses received a trophy and a prize. Next, gas leak. Firefighters blocked off Mill Street in Decatur Sunday afternoon while they dealt with a gas leak within 100 yards of the downtown Decatur celebration. The leak was caused about 4:30 p.m. when a woman trying to park her car rammed a gas meter and broke the pipe below the valve. Decatur police helped firefighters clear the road, and fire crews monitored the air until Ameren, Illinois crews arrived within 45 minutes to shut off the gas supply. "Our concern was preventing any type of spark that could set the gas off before we got the leak shut down," said Decatur Fire Department Battalion Chief Mike McGeehan. Next, scream change. The Decatur Celebration Board already has changes in store for future events. One of the celebration's fall fundraisers, the Scream Haunted Adventure, is moving to the old Sears in the Hickory Point Mall this year. Sturgill is happy about the move. "There is a lot of logistical things out there for us," she said. "For example, the new facility will have better parking." She believes the activities at the haunted house will go more smoothly at the mall. The owner of the building on El Dorado Street has other plans for the area, allowing for the move. "It made sense," Sturgill said, "and it was time for us to go." Next, year-long trek to prize. Would you be willing to wear a celebration wristband for a year if there were the chances of a good-sized prize at the end of 12 months? That's a question WSOY radio host Eric Lee asked, and he has 20 competitors who have pledged to do just that. A selection of entrants to a spontaneous celebration 365/nowdecatur.com contest have been selected after answering a series of Lee's questions. Most specifically, potential entrants were asked if they were sure they would be willing to have their celebration VIP wristbands on for a year. One guy responded, "I've worn this wedding ring for 13 years, so 1 year will be nothing," Lee said. The contestants have been instructed to provide pictures throughout the year to show they still have it on. I want to see something from a family Thanksgiving dinner, Lee said, or a wedding. The prize to the contest's winner is $1,000 cash and a celebration prize package valued at $400. As long as the wristbands stay on, contestants will receive additional perks throughout the year. And next, free sunglasses. Nothing moves faster than free stuff at Decatur Celebration. Decatur company Morse Driveways, Inc. had the inspired idea of laying down a trail of good publicity by handing out free pairs of wrap-around sunglasses emblazoned with the company name. 5-gallon buckets of the glasses were delivered to gate checkpoints in the newly fenced celebration, and the shades flew away like a cloud across the sun. Oh, they go really, really fast, said Celebration Gate volunteer Teresa Waybright. People here free, and they're all over them. Waybright was working with the William Street Celebration entrance with trustee assistant Hallie Sellers, 14, as part of a fundraiser for the Elite Energy Show Choir. Sunglasses, mused Waybright, it's a fantastic idea to get your name out there, and they're nice glasses, too. Some of the pictures that accompany this article. The first shows the contestants for the Illinois Festival Queen lined up for Miss Macon County Queen during Miss Illinois Festival pageant during the 2017 Decatur Celebration. Another photo, Dora the white-nosed Codamundi, a kind of South American raccoon, dashes across the backs of delighted visitors at Decatur Celebration. Dora is being led by Wild Times Exotics co-owner Lacey Claiborne. And another photograph, some people found it hard to believe that a creamy, yellow-colored albino snake called a Burmese python was real until they touched it. Among the Decatur Celebration visitors satisfying their tactile curiosity was center Monique Jordan and right Anthony Hinojosa. The 14-foot snake called Mr. Cuddles was being handled by Wild Time Exotics co-owner John Claiborne. And a page from our past. Marbles, popular in 19th century. Even Abraham Lincoln enjoyed indulging in competition. Dr. Edwin M. Colburn, an early Bloomington physician, recalled the popularity of marbles and other games in the early 1840s. Not among children, mind you. No, he was talking about elected officials. I saw day after day, Colburn related, in a reminiscence from 1883, the sheriff, county clerk, and other officers in the streets playing marbles and pitching quoits. The latter was similar to horseshoes, only played with metal rings. Marbles, or at least small spherical objects made to be knocked around with the flick of a thumb or finger, have been around since time immemorial. To cite several representative examples, marbles have turned up in excavations at ancient Mesopotamian and Egyptian sites, and references to them appear in Roman literature. This amusing diversion was all the rage among Bloomington's adults in the 1850s, recalled one old-timer in 1879. Boston Ring and Long Taw were the favorite games, and the public streets were often filled with the young businessmen of the city, with coats off, engaged in playing marbles with as much enjoyment and interest as if selling calico and molasses at a good profit. The 100 block of East Front Street, where Rosie's Pub is today, was said to be the great resort for the marble players of early Bloomington. Many of the best players are now among the oldest and most esteemed citizens of the city, added the old-timer in 1879, looking back a quarter century. Indeed, if his recollection is to be believed, Bloomington's accomplished marble players of the pre-Civil War era included David Davis, Asahel Gridley, Dr. G.W. Stipp, Leonard Sweat, Alan Withers, and others. There are several accounts of Abraham Lincoln playing marbles both as a young man and then as an attorney in the 8th Judicial Circuit. In New Salem, Lincoln boarded with Cooper Henry Onstott. T.G. Onstott, Henry's son, knew Lincoln well. "My first knowledge of him was a great marble player," he recalled in a 1902 reminiscence. "He kept us small boys running in all directions, gathering up the marbles he would scatter." Ivory Pike recalled an older Lincoln playing marbles in Bloomington. Pike's uncle, Meshach, owned the Pike House of Center and Monroe Streets, a hotel the future 16th president frequented. It was just like Lincoln to stop on his way to the courtroom and play marbles with a group of boys, Pike remembered in 1931 at the age of 86. He was a good mixer and seldom forgot a face. It was easy for him to become acquainted with anyone. It's been said that a good definition of the game of marbles is any game played with marbles. In the 19th century, there were hundreds of different games and hundreds of variations of each game. As house rules altered from region to region, city to city, and even neighborhood to neighborhood. Marbles were tolerated by local officials, as evidenced by the fact that one of the more popular venues for the amusement was the county courthouse basement. Asphalt streets were also a popular surface for marbles, though this, too, posed dangers. In February 1912, area motorists complained that boys were playing marbles smack in the middle of busy streets, unmindful of approaching traffic. Boys played marbles mostly outdoors, so the first games were often as good a sign of approaching spring as the robin. When cement sidewalks began appearing in the early 1900s, they became a popular place to shoot marbles. Even so, boys still gravitated to railroad tracks, if for no other reason than to be far from the watchful eye of parents and other meddlesome adults. This is an article written by Bill Kemp. Bill Kemp is the librarian at the McLean County Museum of History in Bloomington. And a list of meetings, this week's schedule of government meetings and other activities of interest to the public, in Decatur and Macon County, include the following. For today, Monday, August 7th, Argenta Village Board of Trustees at 6 p.m. at the Village Hall, 330 North Warren Street. The Blue Mound Village Board at 6 p.m., 317 Railroad Avenue. Decatur City Council at 5:30 p.m., City Council Chambers, 3rd floor, Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. The Forsyth Village Board of Trustees meets at 6:30 p.m. in the Village Hall at 301 U.S. 51. Hickory Point Town Board of Trustees will meet at 7:30 p.m. in the Town Hall, 2240 West Ash Avenue in Decatur. The Illini Park District Board of Trustees will meet at 6 p.m., 265 South Main Street in Warrensburg. Latham Fire Protection District Board of Trustees will meet at 7 p.m. in the firehouse at 271 Macon Street. Macon County Board Finance Committee at 5:15 p.m. in room 514 in the Macon County Office Building, 141 South Main Street in Decatur. The Mount Zion Village Board of Trustees meets at 5:15 p.m. in the Village Hall, 1400 Mount Zion Parkway. Warrensburg Village Board of Trustees will meet at 7 p.m. at 155 East Main Street. On Tuesday, the Austin Township Board of Trustees meets at 7:30 p.m. in the Town Hall, 2402 Lincoln Memorial Parkway in Latham. The Harristown Fire Protection District Board of Trustees at 5:30 p.m., meeting at 4417 West Main Street. The South Macon Public Library Board of Trustees meets at 5:15 p.m. in the Public Library, 451 West Glen Street. On Wednesday, the Decatur Public Library Board of Trustees Finance and Properties Committee meets at 4:30 p.m. in the Public Library at 130 North Franklin Street. The Forsyth Library Commission meets at 1 p.m., Public Library at 268 South Elwood Street. And on Thursday, the Decatur Housing Authority meets at 3:30 p.m. in the Don F. Davis Administration Center, 1808 East Locust Street. Friends Creek Township Board of Trustees meets at 6:30 p.m. in the Community Building, 101 East Elm Street in Argenta. And the Macon County Board meets at 5:30 p.m. in the caucus, at 6 p.m., the full board. Room 514, Macon County Office Building, 141 South Main Street in Decatur. And from the Coming Up column, things we're working on this week, Illini football picks up pace. The University of Illinois football team's training camp is in full swing on campus, and you'll want to follow along with Executive Sports Editor Mark Tupper as he covers the team all week. From likely starters to developing talent for head coach Lovie Smith's second team, keep pace with the latest information as the Illini ready for their September 2nd opener against Ball State. Next, Gallery features needlework. The Ann Lloyd Gallery will feature a new exhibit during August. Each month, the Decatur Arts Council displays the work of local artists. Lisa Nelson Robb's art is unlike many of the displays often featured at the downtown gallery. The exhibit, Inner Map, Textile Art of Lisa Nelson Robb, is shown of needlework, threading materials, and textures. Nelson Robb creates her work through various sources, shapes, vintage pieces, ornaments, and even a computerized sewing machine. Learn more about her work and the exhibit in Thursday's Arts and Entertainment section. Next, affordable housing needs rise. From entering a lottery to receive a spot on a Decatur Housing Authority waiting list to qualifying for assistance, staff writer Claire Hettinger will explain on Thursday the way an increasing number of people find affordable housing. As more people pay high rents, the Housing Authority looks for ways to increase the number of units available, even as it faces potential funding cuts from the federal government. Next, employers seeking soft skills. Global economic forces are leading to good news for Caterpillar Inc.'s facilities in Decatur, but manufacturers continue to struggle to fill jobs that are in demand all over the country that require soft skills and a bit of training. Soft skills include things like ability to communicate, time management, punctuality, problem solving, or accepting constructive criticism. Local job trainers say there's a stigma attached to blue-collar work and a dearth of people on whom manufacturers feel comfortable relying. All this despite the fact that these jobs, such as welder, can be a very good-paying position. Next, kindergarten, here they come. The Education Coalition, an initiative of the Community Foundation of Macon County, has sponsored a sort of kindergarten boot camp the past 2 weeks, and the little ones will have a graduation party. At the Children's Museum of Illinois, that will include ice cream, mobile zoo, a chance to practice getting on and off the bus, and a school lunch. Students getting ready for that big step into kindergarten not only need the necessary skills, but they also learn what to expect in their new classroom environment. And next, Frank Lloyd Wright Home Preview. On Saturday, we preview an open house for the sale of a 1909 Frank Lloyd Wright-designed home at 2 Milliken Place. Priced at more than $700,000, it's considered a steal, as a home like this by the master might go for $2 million plus near a city like Chicago. And finally, immunization requirements. If you haven't gotten your child's physical immunizations, you're running out of time for the state-mandated checkups before school starts. Wednesday's story will discuss who needs them, what they entail, and why they're important. And we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, August 7th, 2017. Please stay tuned.